All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Claude Giroux, and you're listening to Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
Whew, a little hangover from the parade yesterday from the back-to-back Natty Ice champs, winning the men's league there. So quite the parade down Broad Street.
Yeah.
I'm not sure people knew what we were doing. People are like, what are these guys doing? Carrying the keg cup, you know. I'm not sure Jim Boucher's noticed that it's missing from the Dunlops upstairs, but just kidding. Just had a great game, though.
It was a big win.
It was fun. It was actually a really fun game to play against. We played Dexter, good dudes. Really fun game to play.
I would say that's probably one of the best men's league games that I've ever been a part of, honestly, as far as like
it was pretty
actual
intensity
and like execution too. I thought both teams were making some plays, and it was good energy and
good
comeback win.
Place was packed, you know, down 4-1.
Yep.
Come back and win that game. Was it, you know, we never got down, but like 4-1, and they, you know, they got a good team, so it was fun. It was a really fun game.
Yeah, it was. And the Tovey's got some action.
Well, I mean, you know, four snipes by you. Tovey, Richard, and Aaron actually called me and said, could you kindly stop using the stick? Because I'm missing open. I missed open net. For me, not for you.
Oh, yeah. You got to step your game up.
Like,
Tovey,
just to give it to everyone else on the team, and you just use something else. And I said, well, why don't you guys go fuck yourselves? No, I'm kidding. No, your Tovey was hot.
It was on
fire, man.
It was a fresh Tovey.
It was
it was
a freshie.
Old model too.
Elvis just got his new Tovey Raven, which he loves. He finally got to use it.
Breakaway goal too.
Last night, in practice though. But he loved it. He said it felt great. He's got way better hands than me.
Yeah.
So I'll take his word for it.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Nast, did you put a little Jell-O on those tips tonight?
Oh, boy. Here we go again with the man bun. You can't make fun. I got a normal haircut. There's no, like, what are we talking?
What's wrong with the man bun? Just got to keep the hair out of the eyes.
Well, cutting it. That'll work.
No, like, it's not an option right now, Nast.
Did you trim the beardsy?
I did, yeah.
Thank God. My goodness.
But you're looking good.
Yeah, you're looking good too, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
Feeling good after a championship.
Yeah, I feel pretty good. Hip flexor's a little tight still. Lower back. Like that, I almost broke my spine there on that one play.
Went behind the boards there.
Which was,
I didn't realize that was you.
Oh, my God.
I heard it, and then you were coming down ice, and I saw ice all over your back. I was like, was that Riles that went on the boards? Probably broke the boards. Yeah. His head back. Hit it.
Oh, my God.
The back is broken. What, vertebrae? Spinal. Spinal. Mike Tyson. That was great.
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
We got to pull that clip.
Yeah, we're going to have to. Baller Debo, you got to pull that clip. That's one of Elvis's favorite thing. He always says that.
It's a great
I broke
clip.
My back. Anyways,
moving on.
Yeah.
A little announcement to make. I will be at the Lehigh Valley Winter Classic on February 4th, which is a special hockey event. Been there before myself. Bill Clement and Scott Hartnell will be there. Awesome event they put on. Again, special hockey. These kids, obviously being introduced to hockey and having some structure and practices and games, which is super beneficial for their development. So happy to support them. Should be a great day. So if you guys are around the Lehigh Valley, check it out. Come say hi.
More details to come.
We'll have Adam on from the Lehigh Valley Winter Classic next week to talk more. But just putting it on the map, pretty positive event in the community.
Awesome.
So happy to support them once again.
Yep.
Moving on to Flyers hockey. Nass, what do you got?
Yeah, Sam Harrison's opened some eyes with his play. He had a great training camp and then was hurt.
Yep.
You know, he's 4-0. 2.3 goals against average, which is obviously really good, and 92.4 save percentage, and he looks sharp.
Yeah,
he looks really good. He's played in four games. I mean, it's four games, but still, like he's played really well.
Yeah,
and the guys have won 5 of 6 games right now. So it's always a positive. It's funny, like. They're winning games, and you see on social media, and half of it's for fun, but they're like, stop winning,
yeah, no,
you
right.
know, for
yeah,
the
exactly.
for Bedard. But yeah. But Sam's played really well. Can't deny that.
Yeah, no doubt. And to go on the Western trip and to win those games on the road is not an easy thing to do.
Right.
You'd like to think a young guy coming into the lineup. You know, I know what it's like coming in your first, you know, few games. It's like you're just full of piss and vinegar, right?
Yeah.
You're doing obviously everything you can to win games and to stay up. So, you know, naturally he's going to have his bumps in the road like everyone does, but great start to his career in the season for him. Hopefully they can sustain this momentum, you know,
yeah,
for the team.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, their schedule wasn't the toughest, but it's different. It's NHL.
Yeah,
like,
you're winning games.
Everybody wins games, and you have to win those that you should win.
Yep.
But he has played really well. Kind of creates a little issue at goaltending with Felix because it seems like they don't want to put him on waivers. He's actually down in Lehigh on a conditioning stint right now. So they have 2 weeks to kind of figure out what's going on. You read all kinds of stuff, trade this guy, trade that guy. But I'm not sure what they're going to do, but I think they have enough cap space to have Felix up and have 3 goalies, which sucks.
Yeah.
Really, for Felix, if he's not going to get to play, who knows how it plays out. Maybe they do make some sort of a trade. But for the time being, Felix is down conditioning with the Phantoms. So. Yeah. I guess in 2 weeks we'll see.
Exactly.
Maybe there may be some decisions that have to be made.
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, they might hang on to 3 goaltenders for a while and see how that plays out.
Yeah,
you know, that position is somewhat sensitive, right? You're like one tweak away from having to make a recall, anyway. So you know, nonetheless, it's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, and you know, obviously, not putting him on waivers. Maybe they heard, you know. There are some teams that would pick Felix up, and I think they might be right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. So
we'll have to see what they do.
Is the workaround, right?
Yeah,
you have to do it that way. So see how it plays out. But you know, nice to see Harrison having success and the team rallying around him. So Wish him the best moving forward.
Yep.
Moving on past that, we got some high-level performers.
Ooh, TK. He's on fire.
Yes, he is.
9-game point streak, 17 points in those 9 games, and he's just playing his game. We've talked about it before. He's shit disturber, you know. He gets in there, he gets in the middle of everything, which I love, and he's not an oversized player, but he plays way bigger than he is, and he's just scoring, and he's having fun. It looks like he's having fun. He's playing his game, and you know, we talked about him and Carter maybe being an all-star, and our boy Kevin Hayes gets the nod, which couldn't be happier for him, man.
Yeah, you and me both.
And I'm sure everyone on the team is.
Yeah.
You know, TK could get voted in as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
He still could get voted in. I mean,
grinding the way he is.
If you look in the East, like, I don't know of any other players that are playing as well as TK, so there are a couple spots there where I believe he can be voted in. Hopefully he does. He does deserve it, but for Hazy, man, it made me tear up. I was so happy for him. You know, it was one thing I believe he had said to someone that, you know, it was one thing his brother always wanted to do was to be an all-star.
This year,
and,
you know, this year
it's
is
awesome,
the year.
Man.
This year is the year, and, you know, finally.
It's awesome.
Finally found his way, yeah.
Hollywood.
Yeah. No, oh, super pumped for him, you know.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, some bit of the surface level adversity that the media has kind of talked about with, you know, him being scratched. That's just part of the game, you know. It's a little blimp on the schedule in the season, but, you know, nice to see him rally through it and you know, have some success and find his way to the All-Star game. So wish him the best. I know he's a skilled guy.
He
has the ability to slow down the game and almost to a fault, right?
I mean,
he's so good at it that it almost looks like he doesn't care sometimes.
Right.
That's the skill. That's something you really can't teach, to be able to hang on to the puck and have that type of patience. I know I certainly didn't have that nest. I see that in your game sometimes.
Oh,
though. You
God.
Get to, you hang on to the puck extra split second.
Then lose it?
Have
then
a break
lose
part.
It? What do I do? What do I do?
Wobble and fucking back check.
Hey, if it was a round ball in the kid's hand.
Oh, yeah.
Though.
Yeah, you're right.
No, but congrats, Hollywood, man. We love you, brother. So happy for you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Nast, before we get to episode 101, I think we gotta plug Fans of Philly. Our trip's coming up.
Oh, it's getting closer.
Yeah, 1 month away.
Yeah, 1 month away. Cannot wait. Seattle, we're coming.
Oh yeah,
we're coming. Seattle, are you gonna throw? Are we gonna go have you throw a fish or catch the fish? You know how they do
probably.
That.
Yeah,
I got.
Probably.
I want to see the mitties. See if you if you can catch it. Or throw it.
See these mitts in action.
Yeah, can't wait. To go on this trip, and from there we go to Van, and Roxy just keeps blowing our phone up. They're like, want to make sure we come in there. So
bringing bottle service.
Yeah,
You bring the clear in. And
yeah, we should. I think we need to get Ball or Debo to email them, let them know about the winter champs.
Oh,
you know, Natty Ice. So
get the red carpet,
the bottle service,
for you.
The sparklers.
Oh,
and
you know
got to do it right.
That's it. Yeah, so 1 month away.
Can't
fans
wait.
Philly.com. Check them out.
Yes.
And we're ready to rock here, Nast. Episode 101. Can you believe it?
I cannot.
Episode 101, presented to you by Curaleaf. Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted to this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA. Or stop by one of their 18 locations across the Commonwealth, or visit curaleaf.com/locations. Let's go, Nast.
Here we go.
All right, welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we are so excited to have a great friend of ours, a teammate of yours, young man I've known for a long time, former Flyers captain, 1,000 games played, Riggs, in the black and orange. Second all-time in points with 900. Not bad. He's all right.
Yeah.
Mr. Claude Giroux. Gee, what is up? Thank you for joining us. What's up, my man?
Not much. Just grinding away here halfway through the season. And, you know, good to see you guys again.
You too, brother.
Tucked away in your hotel room there? Or what's happening?
Oh, yeah. We just finished practice. And, just hang out. Talk to you guys for a bit, have a good nap, and have a nice dinner here in Arizona.
Oh, man.
Beautiful.
We did a little bit of damage there last year about this time, probably.
Yeah, we did.
Yep, nice place.
Not a bad place to be. A
little different, though, the weather, AG, in Ottawa and in Arizona, maybe, a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not. I had to pack a little different. And, you know, once in a while, I don't mind that.
I hear you, man.
Sure.
Again, thanks for joining us, buddy. We know you're super busy. We were trying to set it up when you got back to Philly for your first game with Ottawa here, and that just schedules are crazy and all that. So we're really happy to have you. Kind of just want to start. We were talking about this earlier when you were still here, the bubble year when everything kind of got screwed up with COVID, and you end up going to the bubble and you know, making it, doing well in the playoffs, right? And everything's like going forward and north. Everybody's excited about the next season. And then the last two seasons kind of just, you know, just were a bit of a shit show. You know, just things happening that no one expected. What can you put your finger on maybe that was one of the biggest things with everything kind of going backwards?
Yeah, for the Flyers. I think my last year, it was very frustrating because, you know, we just got Ryan Ellis, and we were very excited about the season. And then, like, missing Coots, and then, you know, Cam and, you know, Joel. And, you know, when you miss big pieces like that, and we had so many injuries, that it was frustrating because we had a good start of the season. And then when the injuries started, We kind of dipped a little bit, and it was frustrating because we wanted to see how this group could do. And, you know, it was me personally, I was very excited for the season, and I thought we could do some damage. But, you know, it's definitely a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, it is true. We've talked about it a lot. It just so many injuries. There's only so much you can do when you lose big pieces like that. No matter what. But in saying that, your last year with the Flyers, make it to the All-Star game again, not a big deal. your last year as a Flyers, like I said, and as a Flyer, and you end up getting MVP in Vegas, that had to be pretty special.
Yeah, that was very special. I mean, you know, All-Star game, you know, guys are not going 100%, and we just ended up winning, and one guy on the team gets it. So, I mean, could have been pretty much everybody, but just to be there, you know, with Gavin being there too, you know, Gavin still looks at videos of when we were there. And, you know, it's a great memory for him and for us. And, you know, it's definitely, it was definitely one of my favorites All-Star game, just how everything happened.
Yeah. It was great to see. I know we were so excited for you. Really, really cool.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, lots has happened since last time we had you on the pod, obviously. You know, Nasty mentioned a couple there, but you know, share what you can and walk us through maybe what it looked like, you know, getting traded last year. I know there's a lot of hype and a lot of media speculation, just rumblings. I mean, how much is true? How much is not? I mean, are you able to maybe just share what you can around like what that looked like? You know, the teams you were talking to maybe, and then, you know, obviously playing that 1,000th game and how that played out. You know, was that an organizational thing or is that something that you called the shot on? So I just wanted to get your insight on that.
Well, you know, when the season ended last year, you know, me and my wife kind of looking through our options, and you know, I had no idea where I was going, to be honest. You know, going back to Philly or staying in Florida or coming to Ottawa. And there was a lot of teams that we kind of look at the option. And, you know, every time we talked about it, Ottawa just sounded good. I liked the way they played last year. They were a team that when you know you're going to play against them, you know, they play you hard and it's going to be a long night. So, and they had a great second half. They have a lot of young pieces, like a lot of young, great players. And, you know, it's just something you want to be a part of, right? And, you know, go in there and kind of build something with those young guys. And kind of, it's like, I understood that it's going to be a process a little bit, but hopefully it'll be a fast process. So I'm very happy I'm here. to be honest, just because guys are awesome in the locker room. We have a really tight group, and you know, they make me feel young again too. So it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Before you had to get to that step with Ottawa, like going back, you know, your 1,000th game, you played 1,000th game with the Flyers, which is amazing. And that was your last game. Leading up to that, did you say like, listen, I'm playing 1,000 games before anything gets done? Was that up to you?
I think it was, we talked about it, but it was kind of just timing. The timing could not have gone better. It was just like, okay, this is going to be the last game. And then the trade's going to happen. So, timing was pretty nuts, to be honest. And, that game, it was the emotions of having the celebration before this little ceremony of 1,000 game. And then in my head, like I was terrible that game. I just know it's my last game, and like the whole game, I'm just like, the stuff that was going through my head, it was tough. And, you know, we ended up winning the game, which was pretty cool. But it was great for their team fun too. But it was kind of a mixed feelings. And you know, like after the game, I kind of broke down a little bit, just trying to keep it together. But you know, the fans, even when I came back to Philly, the fans are just amazing, and they've always been great to me, and I really respect them.
Yeah, it was an awesome ceremony, awesome, you know, just everything. And I think what really capped it off for me was Gav giving the wave. That was, I mean, that couldn't have been it. I mean, that was the coolest thing. I just thought it was great. He sees Dad doing it. So he's like, oh, man, I laughed. But so in going through that whole process, like best you can without giving away things you can't, like for the trade and you know, you have your options basically. Like, is that a tough thing to do? And like, how does that kind of work?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, especially you're there for a lot of years, and I cared a lot for the guys in that locker room. And you know, at one point it's just time. And I think personally and the team, I think it was just, we kind of agreed on what's going to happen. And there was no argument. There was no, like, we literally just had conversations, and everything just felt right. And, you know, it's a tough decision to make, because, you know, I always thought I'd finish my career in Philly. It was never a question for me. And with the timing of my contract ending and where the team was and the direction of the team, it was tough. But you know, sometimes things happen like this, and you just got to move on. And there's other things in life that that will come your way.
Yeah, exactly. And you handled it great. And you get traded to Florida, and what, you know, pretty good damn team there too. No, you know, you get in there, you played 18 games. I think you had 23 points in 18 games and 8 points in the playoffs. But talk a little bit about Florida. I mean, obviously you're going, the last team you played on that was different was your junior team. So you've been a Flyer your whole life, and now you're going to Florida. What was that like?
Yeah, it was weird. You know, the first week I just don't know what to expect going to a new team. I really don't know anybody on that team. So I'm going to, except Bob. So like, I'm going in there, I don't know anybody, and I mean, I don't know if these guys like me or not, and how they feel about me coming there. And so but it was great, obviously. Good group of guys, and we're winning a lot, so anytime you win, it's a little bit extra fun. But you know, it really sucked that we couldn't go further than we thought we were going to be, because we thought we had a great team and we were playing well. Played Tampa and obviously lost in four games, but didn't feel like we lost in four games. But you know, the experience there, the organization, they were great too. And I mean, a complete different team now. 360. They got new pieces, got rid of some pieces, new coaches. So it's a whole different story right now in Florida. But when I was there, a good group of guys, and I was there for what, 2 months, 3 months. And so it was awesome.
How good's Barkov?
Yeah, he's you play against him, and like you do think he's underrated, and you do think that he's unbelievable. He's got a heavy stick, but when you actually get to play with him, you're just like just during practice, he would make some plays during practice, and I'm just looking around like, did anybody see that? And guys are just like, it's just normal for them. They're like, yeah, he does this pretty much every practice. I'm like, this is nuts. But he reminds me, like, he played with Yags, right? So like, he does a lot of what Yags used to do, and he works. He's in the gym. He's skating by himself. He does all the extra work. So like, it's not a surprise that he's that dominant.
Yeah, no doubt. And G, just backtracking a little bit to you making the choice to go to Florida, because I think at the end of the day it was your choice. How many other teams were in the mix? And obviously, I mean, besides where they were in the standings at that time, like, and being hot down there, I mean, why Florida?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me that, but it's like when it happens, where you want to go or what team you want to go play for and which organization, like it's such a tough call, because you don't know much, but you hear a few things, and a good locker room was something that was very important for me. And you know, they were playing well. They were scoring so many goals. They were playing up and down. They're a fast team. Good. They have two great goalies. And so for me, it was like, and it was Florida. I mean, you get to play in Florida, and you know, in playoffs there, it's always good atmosphere. So for me, having a chance to play with like guys like Huberto and Barkov and Reinhardt, like those guys, there's more good players, but just having a chance to play with those guys, it was, I just wanted to learn too, you know. Yeah, I know I'm a little old, but I like to learn, and I like to see what other players do, and kind of just try to keep getting better.
It's funny you're calling yourself old. I'm sitting beside old balls over here.
Yeah. You guys are really old.
Gee, come on. Right? Yeah. 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 He's old. That's right.
Yeah, I am. I am old. Yeah. But it's funny to hear you. You're calling yourself really old, man. Because I still think of you as young buck.
Right now.
You are.
The guys give it to me too. They know I like it though. So, but yeah, we have a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So you had just said a few minutes ago there were other teams that were like calling for you. I can imagine there were a lot of teams, but Ottawa just seemed to fit. It's kind of its home as well. How are you enjoying it? I mean, you kind of touched on that already, but it's got to be cool being around, you know, closer to family.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I'd have more time to like hang out with family and friends, but you know how it is during the season. It's nonstop, and I got two little boys at home, so it's go 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 all the time. But yeah, it's been great. Back in the snow, I love snow, so it's great to be back, and you're starting to see the outdoor rinks getting ready, and the kids sliding down. So it's it's been 15 years since I'm back in Canada, and so it's definitely a change.
Yeah, sure. No, and you reunited a little while. Cam Talbot had a cup of coffee here. He came to us midway through the season, and it's pretty cool. I mean, you know Cam, obviously. What about this Tkachuk now? Is he just a shit show in a room? Is he a ball of energy and fun? Because I got to deal with his dad a lot years ago, and he was just so funny, and the kid looks like the riot.
Yeah, I mean, he's a goof. He's like a big teddy bear, just goofing around, and we play cards. He's not very good at it, and we have a great time every day. We just give it to each other, but he's a great captain, and he goes with his instincts, which is good, and he's a hell of a player. So I had a chance to play with him a lot of games here, and he's just he's just a power forward, which you don't really see a lot anymore in the NHL, and he's one of the best at it.
Yeah, he is. Sure. Yeah, talk about you know, DJ Smith. You know, you're talking about the leadership role as a player, but you know, DJ Smith, you know, back in the day, was a tough guy,
and yeah,
you know,
he was tough.
He commanded respect. I mean, how is he as a coach?
Yeah, he's great. You know, he's very similar to Chief in my eyes. Just he's you know, he'll be hard on the guys, but like in a respectful way. And he likes to joke around just like Chief and
sarcastic.
Talk about how tough they are and he's stories and but he demands respect from the players. He's hard on the players. But I think the way he does it, the guys respond well to it. So he's got a great relationship with pretty much every player. Well, I think anyways, and that goes a long way for a head coach.
Yeah, no doubt. You say he's a good communicator?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He is with me. I know he's here with Brady and Shabbat and all the leadership group. I think he wants to know how we feel. He wants to know how we can get better. He's not a coach that thinks he knows it all. He wants to, if it's not his idea, he's fine with it. He just wants to win, and it's a great mentality to have.
Yeah, you gotta respect that. I feel like the new age coach has to be good at communicating, you know, to some degree, right? I mean, it's like long gone are the days where we keep talking about this, like that old school coach that doesn't talk to you, you know, until, you know, he's got to take you out of lineup or send you down type of deal. Like, I feel like if you're going to be a modern day NHL coach, that has to be almost a prerequisite, right? I mean, you have to communicate with your players. They want to feel like they've been listened to, right? I mean, it's just one of those things. It's two-way street. It's not just listening to the coach anymore.
Yeah, no, it's the game's changed a lot, obviously, in a lot of ways. And I think coaching is also changed as like the new generation of guys coming in and communicating with your players. And yelling and screaming doesn't always get the job done. You got to know your players. Some guys it's going to work, and some guys you got to try to put confidence in them. So I think the good coaches in the league, they understand who to push and who to be more encouraging.
Sorry for the quick break. Just a quick shout out to our sponsor, DLI Commercial, a premier commercial construction and building maintenance company offering support at every phase. Thank you for your support. Check them out at DLI Commercial for all your construction needs. Back to the show. And just shifting gears, I wanted to ask you, G, I always remembered you being like that hard-ass worker coming into camp and just dominating, you know, working with, I believe it was Tony Greco back in the day. You know, as you become an older player, obviously you're you know, your body requires different things, more maintenance. I mean, are you still in the zone? Like I remember you, you know, you're just absolutely, you know, grinding it out and staying on top of it. I mean, I would imagine so, but how has that evolved, you know, as you become an older player, more experienced player?
Yeah, I think with time you kind of learn what works and what doesn't work for you. And for me, it's just listen to my body. If I need a little bit more, I'll do a little bit more. If I need more recovery, that's what I'll do. So, I mean, I feel like I feel better than when I was 28. Like my because I do more work, like recovering and making sure that the hips are ready to go and the legs are ready to go. So, so I'm not hurting as much as I used to, and that just comes with experience and kind of learning your body. So, you know, you got to pick your battles when you're going to do that extra work and when you just know that you need more rest.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hips don't lie.
Never right.
That's the truth. I mean, leading up to the season too, are you still training the same way you did back in the day? I know we're, you know, after Christmas here, but like, you know, that off ice workout's obviously important, but I have to imagine that's evolved as well.
Yeah, me and Tony have been doing a lot of the same thing for about 17 years, and obviously we change how we work out a little bit, but it's pretty much the same mindset and the same idea. Maybe a couple different ways we switch, but you know, I've been feeling good going to camp. So I think we just kept going to the way it's working. And yeah, I mean, the older I get, I know I gotta put a little extra work in it, and we've done that. So we just gotta keep grinding it out here.
Well, I would say, you know, you look pretty good. 36 points and, you know, 40 games. And I will keep sending you the skill videos that I send you to, you know, things to work on, like I've been doing for years. But
you're trying to take credit for your skill or what?
Maybe. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, you're doing your normal thing, which we kind of knew you would do. And we talked about this before the season even started. But it's good to see you having fun. And you put a little highlight reel last week, man. All through the legs, no big deal.
Yeah, back Saturday at the office.
Yeah, you've been busy scoring goals, G. Too busy for us.
Yeah, I don't know. I usually don't score that many goals, but I'll definitely take them.
Oh, yeah. You gotta take them.
Yeah, it's looking good. You keep in contact with any of the old boys? I mean, even, you know, the old school guys before you even, you know, you got traded away last year. Hartsy. I know you got a Rosie podcast coming up. Any good conversations in the last while?
I when I was in Philly, I used to see Hartsy because he stayed pretty close. But you know, I talked to Lottie once in a while. He's just a clown, this guy. And anytime he texts me, it's always something that makes me laugh. So
he's goofy.
And like Cootsy, but you know, it's they're busy, I'm busy. It's just we're traveling, we're playing, and you know, it is what it is. And we went to dinner when they came to Ottawa, and I felt like I saw them yesterday, you know. So that's that's always good to see them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. And now you've had a chance to play on three different NHL teams. You know, as you bounce around, obviously the group of guys is different, but would you say like the vibe, you know, there's always like a clown and there's always the same type of characters. Is it always kind of the same as you bounce around the locker room? Is just different guys playing those different roles?
Yeah, I think it's similar. I mean, you have your goofy guys, you have your serious guys, and, you know, you got your older guys, your younger guys. And, here it's funny how it works. It's like, we don't have any cliques, and we have the younger guys hang out with the older guys, and then we kind of switch that up, and you know, it just makes it a lot more fun.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. You got some really good young players there too, man. And I'll tell you what, that the breaker, he can shoot the puck, huh?
Yeah, he's he knows how to score goals. Just put it that way, and then, then you got that Timmy Stutzel. This guy's gonna be a player. He's like yesterday, he did a backflip just to do a backflip, and I'm like, you're wow. Nuts, bro.
Jeez.
Just out of nowhere, and
just because
athletic,
but he can play hockey. He's gonna be a hell of a player for a lot of years. I mean, he's 20 years old, and most of the nights he's our best player. So. It's fun to play with these kind of guys who are younger, and you know that you just see them getting better every game. So it's exciting.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, hey, awesome. talk about the attitude of these young guys coming in. You know, I think you kind of caught the tail end of maybe that old school era. You know, you remember like the rookies coming in. It's like, it's almost like obviously you had to earn it, right? And then they went through a phase of like this entitlement phase. I mean, I was coaching the Phantoms and I seen this, you know, almost entitlement phase, which I imagine that you've seen, you know, when you were at the Flyers. Is that getting better? Is it the same? You know, some of these guys maybe coming in like, thinking they got it made versus having to really earn it?
Maybe a little bit, but like not really. I mean, these guys are so good. Like they're not,
yeah,
they're so advanced. They come in the league at 20 and they can skate, they can shoot, they have all the skills, all the tools that an NHL player needs. So I think it's different. Like when I came in, I had a lot of work to be done to be an NHL player every night, you know? So I think it's just different. Like the kids can skate and you got to keep up with them. So it's, I think the game just has changed. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Well, put that in perspective. Cause you know, I think of you, you know, going back when you landed up playing half a season with the Phantoms back in the day, but you're ultra skilled guy, you know, like you mentioned, like the skill level of these guys, like it is incredible, right? These young guys, I mean, they all have high level skill and they can all skate. I mean, but everyone's got their deficiencies. Like, what would you say, like, you know, when you see these young guys coming with ultra skill, like is the deficiencies kind of the same thing? Is it consistency? Is it a strength issue? Like what would it be, you know, being such high end players?
Yeah, it could be strength a little bit. Obviously they're younger and they need to get in the gym a little bit more, but that's just normal for any athletes. But like these guys, like they have skating coach, skill coach, they skate 7 days a week during the summer, like they can do anything they want, but it's about like learning the game, and yeah, it's fast. You don't have a lot of time to think out there. It's a pretty good league, so I think with time they get to understand the game a little bit more. They get to know the players they play against a little bit more, and that's how you just make your life a lot easier when you know that, like those kinds of things.
Yeah, no doubt.
I seem to, you know, in the men's league, to slow the game down. I'm that skilled that
you're
I can.
Evolving, like,
yeah,
yeah, but you don't have a choice to slow it down.
You're right.
Yeah, you got the quick pins. You just get stuck in quicksand.
Oh
there,
yeah, I think I do.
You got skill. You got skill. How do you see this evolving? I mean, how much better can these players get? I mean, it's almost like, you know, in a 10, you know, 5 to 10 year span, it's like
crazy.
I mean, starting at the youth level, like you said, they all got skating coaches. They all got skill coaches. I mean, you're not going to find a bad skater ever, you know, stepping foot on the ice ever again, you know, on the skill level. I mean, you're seeing the Michigan, you're seeing all these extremely skilled guys. Like how much more skill can these guys get?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's a different game. You look at the 80s and you looked at when when I started playing with you guys and then now. I mean, it's evolving and it's great for hockey. I think the young guys that have all the skill set that, well, like at one point everybody's going to have it, it's going to come down to hockey sense and how smart they are off the puck. And like those players are just going to take over probably.
Yeah, because I'm just looking back at my limited skill. And like, you know, it was a challenge getting the puck into the corner to get on the forecheck. And that now these guys are, you know, contemplating like a reverse Michigan and, you know, some of the stuff that they're, you know, I guess it always is about the team first, right? Is it an acceptable time and place to be trying, you know, this offensive play, you know, and what's the, you know, the risk, you know, I guess is always the challenge, right? Because it is a team game and there's places around the ice you don't generally attempt some of these things. It's interesting because we talk about this all the time and it's just like these guys are just insane and the things they're trying, it's just like, it's not just like once in a while. It's becoming, you know, an every game occurrence.
You made a good point too, G, about they're highly skilled, but understanding the game, that's
understanding
what
the game
in the end comes down to really, like you said, in a few more years, everyone's probably going to be this skilled, but it comes down to understanding the game. That's a great point.
Yeah. But it's also an adjustment. Like you play juniors or college, like the things you're doing there in those leagues are probably going to work, but then you come play and then you have defenders in your face. You try to do that kind of stuff against Hedman, like it's not going to work. So like,
yeah,
but that's what I mean about understanding the game and understanding who you're playing against. And if young guys can do that, they're just gonna be better.
Yeah,
for sure. And how do those go back to the coaching? Like, how do those conversations go with these highly skilled guys? Because I know, like, you know, there's always wiggle room for more skilled guys, right? And making mistakes, right? You got to let your guys make mistakes, and the situations are always part of the conversation. But I can't imagine the conversations now with players based on, you know, like attempting to make a play, and then you know the play goes awry and maybe goes back the other way. Like, is there more of an acceptance based on, I mean, I think there always is, but like based on the level of skill now and then just the situations themselves, like where coaches, you know, maybe address the play, but they, you know, kind of maybe give you a free pass.
Well, I think there's a time and play. Like, you don't do it at the blue lines and
right.
Like, if you're in their zone, you can do whatever you want.
Green light. Yeah.
Turn over. Gotta get back. If you get back, you're gonna be fine. So there's a time and place to do it, and if it works, sometimes it looks good.
Yeah, right. So it really hasn't changed then. It's like, because the same rules are always be concrete, time and a place. So it doesn't really matter how skilled this league lands up getting, because it's crazy right now. It's just the same principles apply, I assume. Hey?
Yeah.
Well, G, we know you're a busy man. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the weather in Arizona. Enjoy talking to our boy Rosie.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Seriously, man, we miss you, brother, and we really appreciate your time, because we know how hectic it is.
All right. Hey, boys, anytime.
And we do got to say thanks for the little clip there for episode 100. We appreciate
congrats, guys. Yeah. Amazing.
Thanks, man.
It feel like it was yesterday you guys had your first show.
I know, it does feel the same. Yeah.
You're number 28 and 101.
Yeah, exactly.
28, 101. But we do appreciate you, brother. Best of luck. Keep it going, and we'll be talking to you, my man.
All right, keep it going, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right, big thanks to G, Claude Giroux, for hopping back on for Nasty Knuckles G episode 2.0.
Yes, yes.
A beauty. Awesome, dude.
Like we said, we were trying to do it right when he was getting ready to play his first game back here, but scheduling, it's a shit show in NHL, and coaches change things up. So really happy to have him on, and glad he's doing well, man. Just a really good dude. Was always great to me and a good friend, and talk to him every week.
Yeah.
Give him shit.
Yeah, got to.
You know, like just a great guy, and we appreciate him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice to reconnect, and like you said, we've been tracking him down for some time. Anybody knows anything about the back end of podcasting? It ain't easy. It ain't easy. And chasing people around and trying to get them scheduled, and then things change, obviously. But we got to respect their time.
Yes, for sure.
Obviously.
And on top of that, we got to find Debo, what bar he's in, to get him, you know, into the studio. Guy's an absolute animal. I mean, so yeah, but you're right, you know.
Yeah, I am right.
You are exactly right.
So I think we're ready for clear questions, Nas.
Oh, clear questions brought to you by clearrum.com. Check it out. I think they have a few new flavors coming out, Riggs.
They do. Just heard this morning. I'm not even sure if it's totally official yet, but I will drop the news.
You should drop it.
They got three new R2Ds, ready to drink cans.
Nice.
On top of their Orange Crush and Clearwater, they got a cucumber mint coming out. I know that's right in your wheelhouse now.
I probably will not. I don't like cucumbers, to be honest. I will try it.
You'll try it, yeah. Yes. They got a tangerine.
That's like tangy. I could get into the tang.
You're a little fruity, so you like that.
Yeah, maybe.
And some passion fruit.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's nothing. Nothing wrong with
the
that.
The pash? Purple pash?
No, passion fruit.
Passion fruit. I'll like that.
The next one.
I'll like that one.
Yeah, so.
That should, I like that.
So three right in your wheelhouse now.
Boom.
So. I'll hydrate drink while you dehydrate.
That's right. You got to do it. It's the best going.
Well, clear questions. Let's go, baller.
Yep.
This is from Fire Fletcher over on Twitter.
Oh boy.
At NotBillNye69. He wants to know, is a win streak good or bad for the future of the team?
Oh. Well, we kind of touched on that right earlier.
Here's the thing, and Riles, you're a player, even being an equipment guy, like losing sucks,
man.
It sucks, and players don't want to lose. And I know what's there and why people, you know, even though we were told we were aggressive retooling, obviously that's not even close to the case right now. Man, how do you lose on purpose? I can't play a game of ping pong and lose, but I get where people say that, you know, you want, but I just have a feeling, I'm not saying anything like rigged, but I just have a feeling Flyers aren't going to end up with it. I think Biz even mentioned like Arizona's going to get this kid.
Yeah.
Like that's who's going to get him no matter what, but who knows? I don't think it's ever bad to go on a winning streak, but I do understand the fans' view of, like, thank for Bedard. You know, you see it, but you're a player. You know, like, guys hate losing, man. Yeah. It's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No one likes losing, and I just can't believe for the life of me that you would go into a game and deliberately lose. Never.
Right.
And, in fact, I mean, half the guys that are on the team this year won't be around if they actually ever got Bedard.
Right.
You know? So yeah. It's like, you're playing for pride always. Playing for the team. You're playing for pride secondarily. And you're playing for future contracts, right? I mean, there's always something on the line. So for you to just tank to try and get a draft pick is not going to help your own personal career out.
No.
You know? So I have a hard time believing anybody's thinking about the future of the franchise when they're taking care of the here and now, this moment, and just trying to survive, you know, game by game, day by day, and the season. So, no. So winning streaks, good. I mean,
yeah.
It shows that you're still caring. It shows that you're still trying.
Management needs to worry about the future.
Exactly.
That's who needs to be taken care of this absolute mess that has been created here.
Totally. Totally.
That's the real issue. So, no, I don't think a winning streak is bad.
No. Guys, prepare to win. You know, every meeting you go into is a team meeting to prepare the team to win.
Oh, so they're not saying, here's a good way we can lose?
No, exactly. I've never been a part of one of those
meetings. Yeah, I haven't either, but it's actually a good question.
No, it really is. It really is, because I think a lot of people get confused in these types of situations. But the bottom line is players are playing for their immediate their immediate moment, right?
Right.
They're still trying to salvage the season. Again, pride. I mean, can you imagine going into a game and saying you're not going to give it 100% effort?
Right.
To hope that your organization gets a draft pick that's a small chance in hell. I mean, it's a great question, because I think it's easy to assume that organizations would deliberately tank, but I think it's just about pride. It's about continuing to build off, you know, whatever they do have going for them. And, so winning streaks are always good in my book.
Right.
This one's from Nasty's best friend, Chris Mayer.
Ooh. Chris.
Yep. He wants to know, Riles, what were your thoughts on coaching the Phantoms? And Nasty, what was it like over in Latvia?
Well, honestly, my coaching experience with the Phantoms was a great one. I learned a lot about the other side of the fence, you know. Coaching, obviously, communicating with players, what goes into it.
The stress,
yeah. Well, a good thing is with your assistant coach. It's not as stress bad, as the head right? coach. But, yeah. I certainly witnessed the stress. There's no question. We didn't have great teams when I was coaching. But, nonetheless, I learned a lot about the game. You know, a lot of video, right? I mean, you're dissecting the game. A lot of space barring, stopping the game, you know. I can't imagine how critical coaches were of me when I played. I mean, it's pretty ugly, I'm sure. You know, the amount of criticism we have for guys and just like little things, right? It's easy to slow the game down with the space bar and stop it and saying we should have done that. As we know, in real time, it's such a fast game. But yeah, just learning how to communicate with guys, you know, realizing that all guys want in coaching is to feel like they were heard, right?
Right.
Just to feel heard is important to them. Just communicating how they're feeling to the coach and vice versa. But yeah, it was a great experience. Learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about the game. You just look at the game completely different, you know, just that lens of extra criticism, you know,
right.
As a player, you almost kind of like just shake your head at like, geez, can you just like throw me a bone here and there?
But
I love my experience, you know, it was powerful. You know, I have a different appreciation for the game itself. Right. What about you, Nast?
I went to Latvia in 2006 with Team USA World Championships, and right before that, we flew into Slovenia and played them, and Andrej Kopitar was 18 years old and just was being drafted by the Kings or had been drafted. I can't remember. But that was a beautiful country. Like, it was amazing. But then we went to Latvia, and it was a really cool city. It was like almost a circle city. Like, we stayed across a bridge and you could just see over, and it was like, it was really cool, like cobblestone roads and just all these really cool restaurants, bars. It was a great experience. We played Latvia in a new building at that time, and it was packed. It was my first experience of like being in a different country, and it was like a soccer game. The whole game. It was packed, and I thought, I may have said this before, but one of the coolest things was they scored a goal. I think they scored the first goal of the game, and when the guy scored, it was the captain of the team, he scored, and as he scored the goal, he turned, and he had his arms up like this, and I thought the roof was coming, and I just remember thinking, like, I don't want them to score, but that was one of the coolest scenes. Like, we won the game like 6-2 or something, but it was just a really great experience. I actually pulled off one of the most skilled moves ever.
Oh yeah,
I was a little overserved one day.
It happens.
We jump in a cab, and I'm like, "Oop, gonna have to stop this thing," and I'm with a few of the guys. And I'm like, I'm going to be sick because the cab driver's driving like you, like a maniac. And I jump out. It was a minivan, and this slide the door open. And I literally go to throw up. I'm sorry to be gross. My fake flipper comes out.
Oh, no.
I caught it.
Wow.
I don't know. It was puke on my hand.
Hey, well.
But I caught my damn tooth. I would have had to go the whole 2 weeks
without
a tooth in my head. But honestly, it was a great experience. It was my first international experience, and I loved it. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
One more. Pete Legger over on Instagram.
Legsy.
Should Provorov be traded or built around?
Wow.
Ooh. It's a tough one. I mean... I don't know if I necessarily know the answer to that. I mean, I think he can complement a really good D. I mean, he's a really good D.
Yeah.
But I just think his time in Philly, he just, you know, maybe it is time for him to just explore somewhere else. I'm not sure if it's his decision or if it's the organization's. But, you know, I think Proby could be a great player for the Flyers. And I think he shows, I mean, he signs that, you know, that he is that. But maybe it's just one of those things that just the lack of success as a team the last few years that he just maybe needs a fresh start and go and just be, you know.
It's funny because, like, I feel like a lot of times, like, he's kind of held back. Like, if you notice, if you really pay attention to the games, like, he never gets an offensive zone faceoff.
Yeah,
he's never down there then. And you know, when he was with Tony, he probably was. But now he's not playing with Tony. That's fine. He doesn't get any power play time. I just don't see that this guy's not at least second unit power play. That's just me, my opinion. And it's been tough sledding ever since he's been here. I mean, think about it, this guy wouldn't have missed a game.
Yeah, I know.
And right? I don't think people understand that either. And that's a hard thing to do. Like, he was punching and kicking to play when they made him because of the COVID thing. He played, you know, I know we're talking about the here and now, we don't want to talk about back then, but he had a dislocated shoulder, played in the playoffs. Like, I just think it's been such a tough go for a lot of people, you know, and maybe I have this weird feeling a new start may come for him soon.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate to see him go. I think he's a really good defenseman, and people don't, I don't know if he gets the credit he should, but you know, that's just my opinion. So yeah. I hate to see him go, but you don't have a lot in the pipeline here.
Well, that's it.
So I don't know what you're gonna get for him. You take your chance with picks, which have we'll see. It's a tough question. A good question, though.
It's a really good question. Yeah, you just got to, if you're going to trade him, you're going to nail your picks, obviously.
Yeah.
But you've seen this a lot in the past, right? Guys go somewhere else and get a fresh start, and then they say they thrive, right? I mean, you have a coach that maybe believes in them a little bit more than current coaches.
Yeah.
Play them a little bit different situationally. You know, get them out there, show confidence. You know, when a coach shows confidence in you, you just like the things you can do.
Well, that's a
right?
big point. Yeah, that's a great point.
But then, you know, someone could argue, well, it's like, you got to give the coach a reason to show confidence, you know? And it's like a very, sports, especially pro sports, is a very, very touchy thing. And, you know, they're very, very critical of every movement, every play. So,
one thing, like, quickly that always stuck out to me, like listening to the coaches, and you know me, I'm a hockey nerd. I was always, for the most part, always in on meetings.
Right. Yeah.
I just loved learning and hearing. And, one of the things that always kind of drove me crazy about coaches is this game is so fast and things happen, just an odd bounce that may pop over your stick and coaches are losing it. Like, what are you, you know, like, you played the game, you understand it, but that used to just, I used to just laugh. Like, how can you get upset about that play? Like, the game is so fast, and a mistake, just the smallest little thing turns into a major mistake, but may not even be your fault.
Yeah.
And it happens so much in hockey. And I just remember, like, God, like, there was nothing that could be done there. The puck literally bounced on a bad piece of ice and went over the guy's stick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, well, things like that.
Totally. Well, those plays, for sure, I think coaches get excited because their job's on the line.
Right.
And they have to.
Makes sense.
They have to show that they care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In those situations. But I think those situations are a little different than, you know, making a bonehead play.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
the absolute 100%. Brain fart when you're turning the puck over. Obviously, you got full right to be upset about those plays or have to, you know, make adjustments with those. But, yeah, there's a lot of freak things that happen in games. And it's like, it's easy to get all excited over every little, a little bounce here and there and, you know, start pointing fingers. But I think the good coaches, the ones that are able to actually – and maintain composure,
right,
are the ones that recognize those types of situations and are not pointing a finger at a guy, you know, standing out there because of a shit sandwich that's dealt.
Exactly. And then sometimes some players just make a really good play.
Yeah.
Right. You're doing everything right, well, and someone makes a great play.
You gotta give great players some credit,
you know,
too,
like,
you know, making great plays. Yeah. But
anyway,
yeah,
great question.
Yeah. Really good question.
Not sure the answer there. I know I would love to see him stay and hopefully they get this thing turned around, but I have a feeling he's not gonna be here too much longer.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
The way things are trending, it's not looking like he will be, but.
So if he does get traded, I will, you know, be his. I'll have to go and help and
he will.
Take care of him. Yeah.
Move him in.
I always tell him that.
Cook him dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Breakfast. Well, I mean, whatever bakey. I have to do.
Yeah.
A little bakey, yeah. Anyway, great question.
Yep. And that's a wrap, Nast.
That's good it.
Questions.
Good questions.
Yes.
Yes.
Good ones. Appreciate them. Keep them coming. Make sure we're checking out our YouTube and firing them off in the comments, our social media. Yep. We always appreciate the comments. Appreciate all the support. 101 episodes, Nast. We're on our way to 200.
Let's go, man.
Yeah, man. So
101.
Check us out next week.
Yes.
For 102.
Yes.
And until then, stay safe. See you then, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.